Welcome to the June 6, 2018 Your Living Brand Live Show. I can't believe it's been a year. This is episode number 53. We have actually surpassed an entire year of interviews with our clients, and I absolutely love this. My name is Ben Baker, and my company is Your Brand Marketing. Now, 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, what do? We consult, we do workshops, and we speak on brand message, market vision, and value. What does that mean? Well, what we are is we're storytellers of the brand. We want to help our clients tell their story in an effective way so people listen, that they understand, and that they engage. It's about not being a commodity and start being someone who's a trusted partner, someone who people trust, people want to do business with, and people want to tell their friends and the people that they influence about so you can increase your business. Now, Monday to Friday, this is what I do. But every Wednesday, 10 o'clock, this is the Your Living Brand Live Show. And every week we interview another person and another company. And what we do is we find out what makes them unique. What makes them special? Why do people love them? And this week is no different. This week, I have Phil Domask on the show. Phil has a marketing consultancy company that specializes in the construction industry. He's found a niche. He's found people that he understands. He understands their audience, and he understands how to help them communicate. And that's what makes him valuable. So sit back, enjoy the interview, and I'll be
Phil,
back after the show.
Thank you very much for being on the show. I can't believe we have been trying to get you on the show for forever. This is our anniversary show. This is June 7th, 2018. This is our 52nd episode. I can't even believe it. You know, this is great. You know, I've got you on the anniversary show. So thank you very much for being my guest.
You're most welcome. I'm honored to be here and do that. At least you can say you got a year in before you had a stinker. So we'll be in good shape.
Well, I'm not expecting this to be a stinker. I mean, I read you constantly online. You and I have become LinkedIn buddies. We go back and forth on articles. And you know what? I always enjoy what you have to say. So, you know, I want people to understand what you do and why you do it. First of all, you know, we're both Minnesotans at heart. I was born in Minneapolis. So it's just one of those things that, you know, it just seems apropos as the snow has melted and, you know, the summer is coming, that I have a fellow Minnesotan on the show. You know, this show, for people who don't know about it, is all about how companies add value. It's all about what makes you special, what makes you unique. How do you stop being a commodity and how do you start being a trusted partner? So, Phil, let me stop talking and let me let you talk. What? Tell me your story. Tell me about who you are, what you do, who you do it for, and really, why do these people care?
I'm happy to do so. I'm in Rochester, Minnesota. That means the Mayo Clinic is one of the big influences in life down here. They recently discovered there's such a thing as a craftsmanship gene. Now, that's kind of interesting because I come from a family where that craftsmanship gene is really strong.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather, he was a master woodworker. My uncles were all tradesmen or fabricators. My dad is a patent draftsman, retired at this point, but he'll always be a draftsman. And they were all born to build. Me, Ben, not so much.
It passed a generation, did it?
Yeah, I'm sure you and the listeners are thinking exactly that, but it's not true. I'm here to tell you that, at least in my family, that's not the case. My brother, he can fix just about anything.
Uh-huh.
And my sister is a farrier extraordinaire, one of the first farriers in Wisconsin. And boy, if I had a horse that needed hoofs to be trimmed or shoes to be put on, there's no one better, I'm telling you. It didn't skip a generation. It just skipped me. And frankly, I'm a little envious. I came to realize, however, Ben, that I can craft some things. I craft sentences.
Mm-hmm.
I craft arguments, both logical and emotional. I can build things, too. Two things that come quickly to mind are effective marketing plans, websites. And I create things, Ben. One of the things that adds value for my customers is I seem to have a talent for creating powerful case studies. I can help them put their readers in the boots of a construction marketing decision maker as they consider options for their construction challenges. And you know, somehow it always ends up being the solution that my customers provide.
Right. I've gotten
that. And so I'll tell you, it's amazing. Paul Rodilla once said that I'm a natural born construction marketer. Now that's high praise from one of construction's brightest and best, I'll tell you. And his passing was hard on all of us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's true. And we can have our nurture and nature argument. I don't know if it's instinct or it's aptitude. But I'll bendigoed. I'm able to help construction companies succeed because, similar to you, but in a different fashion, I help them tell their stories.
Right. And, you know, and the construction industry is such a unique business. I mean, my father just retired at 70, about a year and a half ago. He was 77 when he retired. He'll be 80 in September. And he just closed down his commercial renovation company. So I grew up on a construction site, so I get it. It is a completely different and unique industry and requires people that really understand it to market it. Because if you just try to market construction like you do, you know, say Walmart or something like that, it's a completely different animal. You know, the nuance is different. The language is different. The timing is different. You know, the needs, the wants, the desires are different. You know, people are people. Emotion is emotion. But how you reach those people is very different because the people that are in the industry are different than your retail crowd. And they have different thoughts on their minds. And if you can reach into those thoughts, and if you can post stuff in language that they get and they value, then that's pretty magic. So I mean, that's what you do. So, you know, tell me how you do that.
Well, I'm curious, and that's a good thing. And I'm not the brightest lamp on the chandelier, and that helps because it means I need to research hard and study. And I seem to have a knack for taking technical things and making them understandable to people. Mm-hmm. Because I first have to do it for myself, of course, but
right.
It's a good skill to have. You talked about construction marketing. In some ways, it's no different than anything else, and you mentioned that. Logic and emotion both come into play. You have features, benefits, all that going forward. And everything you said is correct. I'll add one thing to it. The breadth of decision makers is more complicated than almost any other industry around. You have to bring something new to market. You need to get past codes, you need to get past standards, you need to get specifiers to understand and specify it, you need to get engineers to make sure that the building, if that's what it is, isn't going to fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
The owner may want something, but the hurdles to get there sometimes are insurmountable, especially with new technologies. I've been fortunate. I've had a chance to introduce 3 or 4 over my lifetime, being part of some amazing teams, and we've had some success. So one of the things I bring to my customers is that experience, and we go forward. And over time, you get to understand, what is an engineer looking for? How can you help them do their job to help their customer? Architects have specific needs before they take something new. They've been doing this the same way for 30 years. Builders have a system in place. Their numbers work. It's a challenge, but it's a fun one, a really fun one. I can't build a ding-dong thing, but I can help people.
But what you are is you're curious about the process. And I think that that's the important thing because, you know, people that are naturally gifted at whatever, it doesn't matter what you're naturally gifted at, you get to a point where you don't think about it anymore. You get to a point where it's so natural and it's so easy, you don't think about the steps. You don't think about the process. You don't think about, you know, the ramifications of what you do on an everyday basis because it's so natural to you. But when you come in with that curiosity and say, well, why do you do this? Why do we do this step first? Why do we do this step second? Why do we do this step third? How does this impact our customer? How does this, you know, who are the people that need to be able to make decisions, as you said, before we can bring this to market? Those are questions that a lot of people, when they're so deep into it, forget to ask. And it's always great to have somebody from the outside that can help you, you know, can help you ask those questions in a way that's relevant, meaningful, and is going to help move the process forward.
Very true. Sometimes I ask the dumbest questions in the world, but
there's no such thing as a dumb question.
Well, you've never heard me ask them, I guess, but they always, almost always open up avenues to ones that are important. So it works out.
So my question is, what got you into the industry? I mean, we all market in a certain way. We all do different things in a certain way. And most marketers that I've talked to got into what their specialty is by accident. You know, some of them have passion. Some of them have, you know, they grew up in a family of such and such, and therefore they became, you know, passionate about that those particular things. Was it your family background that brought you into construction, or was there something else?
Combination of things. I've always had a deep love of history and a deep love of architecture. Mm-hmm. Can't draw, but I sure like that. I grew up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, actually, and so many old buildings there, so much history. And
absolutely.
For a while, I sold real estate, and I got the nickname Mayor of Bayview because I knew that area so well. Business properties, I knew the square footage, what was available, things of that nature. On residential properties, I didn't know every house, obviously, but any house on the market I toured, and I've got a great memory, especially mm-hmm. for sales. So I was able to help people realize their dreams that way. One day my wife told me, we're pregnant again, and you might want to be around for this one. Mm-hmm. And, that kind of was a good wake-up call, slap in the face. So I answered an ad in the paper to be a marketing manager for the Wisconsin Ready Mix Concrete Association.
Mm-hmm.
And
so it got you a lot closer to home.
Yeah, it did. Only 80,000 miles a year I had to put on for them. Great organization, and I learned a lot that way to go. Helping that membership grow markets was incredible. We did some marvelous things. We flipped some markets, Ben. We went from 20% market share for foundations to about 80%.
Wow.
We went from a 12% driveway share to about 90. We got to introduce new technologies like insulating concrete forms and tilt-up construction. Mm-hmm. What an experience. It was just masterful and fun, and I learned so much, and I'm indebted to those people forever. One day, one of their members said, come work for me. And I said, I can't do that. Then another one said, come work for me. So I can't do that either. Politically, it's not a very good idea to go from being a staff member of their association to being part of their team.
Right.
And then one day, another guy came up to me, really small ready mix producer, about 35 miles out of Milwaukee. He said, come work for me. And I said, why? He said, I want to grow my business and we're stuck. Well, that sounded like a challenge. So we talked a little bit. And we put it on the side, and then he said, well, when are you coming? And one day I took the plunge, and boy, I became a marketer after that.
Uh-huh.
It was amazing. And so once in the construction industry, I can't get out. Those people.
It gets in your blood. That concrete just gets in your blood and your system. And you know what? You can't move too fast once it hardens. So.
Yeah, that's kind of true. There's no doubt about that. Those people with the craftsmanship gene, envy is not the right word. That was kind of a fun little play. I have the highest respect, deep respect for them. They are so mm-hmm. good at what they do. But they're so busy doing that well, they don't seem to have time to market their mm-hmm. organizations properly. One of the ways that the ReadyMix company I joined, Albion Materials, added value for its customers was to help them market. So I basically became a free consultant to about 300 contractors.
Perfect.
It was a good training ground, and I loved it. I had a dream that I'd have my own business by 50.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't going to be a ready mix company, and it wasn't going to be a contractor company. But you know what? I could help those people, and it's worked out well. 14 plus years later, here I am.
And that's great, because you know what? We're all a product of our progression. You know, where we came from influences where we are, influences where we're going, you know, both personally and corporately. And it's a neat story to be able to sit there and say, okay, I learned in the trenches. I learned the marketing in the trenches. You know, I worked for the association, which you're right. I mean, you had the entire state, you had every single, you know, member of the organization that you were responsible for to help them grow their business. And it gave you an opportunity to look at the business far and wide and see what worked in different parts of the state and probably, you know, interstate as well. You know, from there, it gave you, you went to the ability to sit there and say, okay, I'm going to work for somebody, but what we're going to do is we're going to help their, you know, their clients market better. And that gave you the progression to move up to being your own, you know, owning your own marketing company. And it allowed you to be able to have the right conversations with the right people because you built up the toolkit. You know, you build up the experience, you build up the wealth of knowledge, you build up the relationships to be able to go out there and be able to be effective and valuable to people. And I think that that's what a lot of people don't realize, that it takes time. You know, a lot of my younger audiences, they want to be, you know, senior vice president by the time they're 25. Well, it takes time. You know, it takes experience. It takes, you know, it takes dedication. You know, this stuff just doesn't happen. It happens over a lifetime. And success is something that happens when you're not expecting it. And I think that that's, you know, you are a product of that success because you took the time and you dedicated yourself and you were able to help your clients be better over a lifetime. So kudos to you.
I appreciate it. I'm smiling for two reasons. First of all, because I wish I had said it as well as you did. Thank you for that. And second, you're right. One other element goes into it, of course, though, and that is study. Mm-hmm. And I've always been someone who likes to learn new things. Again, I'm a very curious person. So significant amount of after-hours study has helped me become a better marketer. It's also helped me, experience is a good thing. Technology changed everything.
Absolutely.
It didn't really, but it kind of did. It changed how you deliver, if nothing else.
Sure.
All for the better. And so significant time I've spent to make sure that I can be a good inbound marketer, that I can use technology well, that content marketing brings in people. I mean, let's face it, when I started in the business and when your dad started in the business, the idea was to go out and hunt for customers.
Absolutely. Knock on as many doors as you could.
That's exactly right. And in real estate, that was always the norm. I learned in real estate, though, that my best leads came when I was doing home buyer seminars or home seller seminars. I was up there in front, and boy, if they had questions afterwards, what'd they do? They had my card. They gave me a call. Suddenly, I had a friend for life.
Well, you were building trust.
Oh, exactly right. So it used to be you hunted. Mm-hmm. Now, help people find you. And I've learned to do that well. And I think that's a key today for success for construction people. One of 8 keys, I think, for growing your business. But the ability to help people find you is probably the most important one after we talk about what your specialty is, and that is being an authentic brand in the marketplace and engineering the customer experience, and 6 others we won't go into today because we don't have the time for it.
Now, my question to you is, you talk about technology. How challenging is it for you to bring a technological conversation into your industry in terms of marketing? You know, do your clients get it, or is it something that they're very old school and said they're going, we've always done it this way, we should continue to do it this way? Or do you find that, you know, people are more apt to look at, okay, can we look at Facebook ads or Google searches or Google AdWords, you know, or other, you know, different types of marketing that isn't the conventional stuff that they did 30, 40, 50 years ago to be able to move the business along?
It's all over the map, Ben. Some companies are very progressive and want to do nothing but social media. I don't think that can work for construction industries. AdWords, you mentioned, really good product, a good way to be found. Mm-hmm. But for a construction entity to put all their dollars into that, that's a problem.
Right.
Unless they have such an infrastructure set up that they can handle the leads that come, unless they have the reach that can make that go, the local search makes things different to go. Construction people aren't resistant to change. They embrace technology from a productivity standpoint. Mm-hmm. They understand what being connected over this World Wide Web means in a lot of regards. When I started, you needed 2 people at your ReadyMix plant to make out all the tickets and mail them out. You needed 2 people at the construction company to check the tickets and make sure you got what you had, and then you can make payments. Well, now it's Wi-Fi, and they sign the bill when they're done because you can go online and see exactly what you had last month, the year before, 3 years ago, depending how far back you had the software to make this work. You can go back a long way in relationship, manage costs, manage budgets,
protect absolutely.
Budgets, all that stuff. And they understand that, so they've embraced that sort of part. But then you come back to an old-fashioned thing, the ready mix industry as an example, and I help more than just manufacturers and suppliers. A lot of my business is contractors, an awful lot of my business is societies and associations. But they understand this, but they're still locked into this product mentality. Even though a lot of construction professionals sell a product or they install a product, they're really service industries.
Right. And they're creating a solution.
Exactly right. You're exactly right. And that's something that that I need to educate them about. And those that are willing to do that grow their business very profitably. And those that don't, and our sales organizations and keep hunting, well, they're becoming commodities because they don't know how to add value. What they know how to do is say we're here, and they take out any value at it, and they're just dickering on price.
Well, and you know what? And I find that that's going across all industries today, as everybody is hiding behind technology as a crutch and saying, you know what, we're better because of technology. Well, if that technology is not seen as valuable by the end user, it's not valuable. You know, if it's client facing, if it's supposed to enhance a user experience and it doesn't, then there's no value to it. And then all of a sudden you wonder why, you know, companies are sitting there going, well, I need to give 20% discount, 10% discount, 5% discount, because they've lost any other ability to market, because all they are is another commodity in the marketplace. You know, your concrete may be completely different than the concrete from down the street. You know, how you mix your terms of service, how quickly you can get to the site. There's lots of different factors out there. But if all you're doing is competing on price, you know, you're always going to be competing on price. And I find that that's a frustration. I don't care if it's the construction industry or if it's, you know, mom and pop retailer or Walmart. You know, if all you are is competing on price, somebody out there is always going to beat you.
Absolutely. You mentioned the fact that Walmart in there. People think Walmart competes on price. Well, they do have a low price, but they've done what they've done not because of low price. They can offer low prices because their logistics and supply expertise unsurpassed. The only person that they haven't beaten yet is Amazon, and I'm not ready to bet the boat that they're not going to do it. They have one thing Amazon doesn't. They have brick and mortar stores, and most people they see that as an anchor, but Walmart doesn't. They see that as distribution centers in every little town in America. And you guys. So we'll see how that plays out. It's going to be interesting. My guess is at some point Amazon's going to own brick and mortar.
Well, it was just in the newspaper over the weekend, or on a newsfeed over the weekend, that Amazon is talking to Target. You know, and they may buy Target. So, you know, you're absolutely right. Having those brick and mortar stores, I mean, the whole Whole Foods thing gave Amazon a brick and mortar context. It allowed people to actually walk in and have that immediacy that they've been lacking. I mean, yes, okay, if you're on a Prime Plus, yes, you can have stuff delivered the next day, in some areas the same day, but it's not the same immediacy as being able to walk in, grab what you need, and walk out when you need it. And there still is a very large amount of people that there is, you know, a variety of products that they need that stuff immediately. When I need a new power cord, I need it now because I probably, you know, shredded the other one by having my lawnmower run over it or something like that. You know, it's not something I can wait for. So it's, you know, it's realizing that different, you know, clients have different needs at different times, and being able to offer that experience where I can say, okay, we have the, you know, the good, you know, good, great, best, you know, scenario. Here's one. Which one do you want to choose? This one may cost you a little bit more money, but you're going to have it a little bit faster. So it's a matter of being able to communicate that. And I think that the construction industry is right for that as well, to be able to sit there and say, okay, time value of money. Let's take a look at it.
Yep. Buy online. We'll drop it off at your website or your job site. It happens now for some companies. More and more will go to them. Rental companies have figured that out. They're following them, what they see Walmart and others doing. We'll see more and more manufacturers, suppliers working that system and making it go. My ready mix company, we didn't have all this technology when I started there. We had a different way to add that value. We started a university, Ben.
Perfect.
And we had a fall semester and a spring semester. Over a 10-year period, over 10,000 people attended.
Wow.
Guess who they thought of when they needed concrete?
That's right.
Funny. We helped them become better contractors. They helped us, and they were willing to pay a premium for that.
Absolutely, because what you've done is you've really provided them value. You'd be able to sit there and say, it's not just a bag of concrete or it's not just a yard of concrete. This is what the concrete does, and this is why you want this over this. If it's you know, cold and dry versus cold and wet, you know, how do you mix the concrete? You know, if it's hot and dry versus, you know, just, you know, hot and humid, there's got to be a different, you know, different formula as well. You know, so there's got to be all those different tricks and traps that the average contractor probably doesn't even know about. But if you can, you know, if you can educate them, if you can make them more educated on why your product, they're going to come to you. They're not going to go to your competitor because they don't know if your competitor knows as much as you do.
It's pretty simple, isn't it? I never said I was smart, but it worked, and it worked very well as it goes through. The other real game changer, I think, for contractors, but I think it's for other industries as well, is this. Contractors can win and win the value game by working hard at engineering and the customer experience. Too many contractors, big and small, react. They're not proactive. They don't engineer. They react to what's going. And frankly, some of them have horrible experiences. And you know, we laugh sometimes. That's a contractor norm. It's not. There's a lot of good contractors out there. But those that are able to provide memorable experiences can sell and sell at a higher price in a competition.
Absolutely, it's
the opportunity. It's not easy, but it's the opportunity.
Well, and I think that's, you just nailed it on the head. It doesn't matter if it's construction or any other business. People want experience. You know, people go to Amazon because of the experience. People go to Walmart because of the experience. People go to Costco because of the experience. You know, they're different experiences, but that's an experience that resonates with them. And, you know, they want something that they can resonate with, something that they find valuable, something that works for them. They can get in, they can get out, they can get what they need, and they know what they bought. If there's a problem with it, they can return it and they can deal with it. So it's a matter of figuring out what is your customer's experience that they want and being able to provide it for them. And that's where the real value is. And I'm sure, you know, that's something that you preach on a daily basis.
We do. And I've been fortunate that I've been doing this for a long time, and the success that comes with it, I've developed some tools that can help construction professionals assess where they are, what they're doing right, what they could improve on, what they should add to their marketing mix for success. And they find those tools useful. It's kind of the secret sauce. And it's been the secret of my success for sure. Of interest, and you mentioned anniversaries as we open, my 15th anniversary of this business is coming up.
Congratulations.
Thanks. July 14th, I think. Assuming I get everything done, the tools I just talked about will be available free online. I'll have a website that is a little different than what I have now. When I did my website in 2003, I wasn't sure how much woodwork I would do, but I wanted to show people what not to do. So I did a website that had every mistake that everyone always asked me to help them with. It had great content, at least I thought it was great, and it did a good job indexing, and it was optimized pretty well, but it's a horrible website. And I've used it as an example. July 14th, I'll have an example of what I think would be an effective marketing website for a construction concern. We'll see how that works.
Great. So yeah. What I'll do in this episode, I'll put the link to the website, because I'm sure the old website and the new website will have the same link. So people can see the old one, and then after July 15th, they'll be able to look at the new one and be able to sit there and say, wow, look at the difference. And that's...
I appreciate that. I should point out then that while I'm not a great designer and you don't want me to do your logo, I'm a better designer than that website shows. But I'm going to tell you, every page is something I was asked to do by a client at some point.
But I think, you know, we all have our expertise. I'm not a web designer. I'm not somebody that can do really great photography. I'm not somebody who does really good videography. But I understand the strategy, as do you. And you bring in the right people for the right job. No marketer can do everything. No marketer can do the strategy and also implement themselves effectively. You know, so better to hire somebody that can oversee, somebody that can help you with the strategy, can help you with getting the thought process done, and let them use their areas of expertise to bring the right people on board at the right time. And I'm sure, I mean, that's how I work. I'm sure that's exactly how you work, you know, to be able to help people out.
It sure is. Collaboration is one of my core values, and I've got quite a list of suppliers that can help me with that. Of course, your name's on the list when it comes to branding.
Oh, thank you. Now, let me ask you one last question, then I'm going to let you go. Now, when you walk out of a meeting, when you get in your car and you drive away, what's the one thing you want people to think about when you're not in the room?
Wow. Okay. Ben, I don't want them to think. I want them to feel. And what I want them to feel is this. Phil is someone who cares about me personally and professionally.
I love it. You know what? It's simple. It's easy. But it's true. It's the emotion. It's that gut reaction you want people to have. Phil, what's your website so people can get in touch with you? Give me that, and then I'm going to let you go and say goodbye to my audience.
Sounds good. www.phildomask.com.
And that's Phil with two L's, and I'll make sure that I put it in the site notes so everybody can see it. It's phildomask.com. Phil, you have been an absolute great guest. Hang out in the green room for a second. I'm just going to say goodbye to everybody, and I'll be right back.
Thanks, Ben.
It was great having Phil on the show today. Phil tells a great story. He's passionate about what he does, and what he's done is he's built a niche. He understands that he has a specific audience and can communicate them in a specific way. What he's done is he's built the level of trust, being able to be specialized in a certain area, and that's a key thing to think about. Now, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, my name's Ben Baker, and my company is Your Brand Marketing. What do? We consult, we do workshops, and we do keynotes on brand message, market, vision, and value. We want to help tell the story of your brand. We want to understand what makes you valuable and communicate that effectively to your audience so that they listen, they understand, and they engage. But every Wednesday at 10 o'clock on the West Coast, this is the YourLivingBrand.live show. We look forward to seeing you.